Hey there, I'm Eric Guthridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. Thanks for joining us again here on Prairie Beat,
our weekly news podcast from us here at Prairie Public. Danielle, what's on the beat this week?
Okay, so a few episodes ago, we talked about emerald ash borer. That's an invasive pest that kills ash trees being found in Fargo. And it's also been detected in Lemoore County here in North Dakota. And we zoomed out to talk about what this will mean for North Dakota and its 90 million ash trees. So this week, what we're going to do is we're actually going to zoom back in and get a more localized look at what this will mean for one specific community. So I heard from a fellow named David Burt. He's an emergency room physician in Central Virginia, but he grew up in North Dakota, Devil's Lake specifically.
But my background is I have an undergraduate degree in fisheries and wildlife management from the University of North Dakota. And I've maintained an interest in trees, and I've seen EAB evolve over the last 25 years. And now that it's arrived in North Dakota, I have an appreciation for the impact factor which it will have.
So if you'll recall from that previous episode, it arrived in Michigan, stowing away on shipping pallets from Asia. And the beetle is not native to North America, obviously, so it had ample food supply in all the ash trees everywhere, and it got to work. Now, David Burt was actually living in Michigan in the early 2000s when these trees started dying, so he got to watch it all sort of unfold before his very eyes.
Oh, wow. I guess you could say he sort of had a front row seat.
There were the first rumors of all of the white ash and green ash dying around the eastern side of the state, which is that Detroit area. And then it was gradually brought to our awareness that this was a new species of insect, the emerald ash borer, that probably came over from Asia on some pallet material. And then you can imagine it was this epicenter of ash destruction that just spread outward through the tree communities of Michigan. And then people began to become really concerned.
He described as people became aware trees were dying, it didn't really connect with the greater public, you know, the question of what's really happening here. But biologists were starting to freak out a little bit because entire species of trees dying off can have lasting impacts on the ecosystem. And it can take a long time to really reestablish those tree populations. And Burt says he's especially interested in this in regard to North Dakota and specifically the Devil's Lake Basin. Last time, we talked about how EAB doesn't travel well, so it's being detected in a couple of different places in North Dakota. It doesn't automatically mean alarm bells are going off everywhere. But Burt says once it is established in an area, it will change the landscape quickly.
Devil's Lake, for a number of reasons, represents one of the largest natural and artificial tree communities in the upper Great Plains. Shortly after glaciation, when the climate changed, the rain shadow and the fire shadow of the lake allowed a very large tree community of ash and oak and elm to evolve around Devil's Lake. And so even pre-settlement, Devil's Lake was noted to be an island of trees in the middle of a giant grass desert, so to speak. And now that's under assault as soon as the first EAB larvae shows up.
Now, here where our station is headquartered in Fargo, they've worked really hard the last several years to diversify the tree populations on city property and along streets and things, getting that going so when it starts, they'll have a jump on it. And I know there have been efforts to educate property and landowners too, but I still had and do still have concerns about those forested areas of the state. We do have 90 million or so ash trees. That sounds like a lot for a non-tree kind of state. And when you say it will change things quickly, I mean, how quickly are we talking about here?
Right. So everything we talked about last time is still true. They don't fly well or travel very far on their own. They get around in transported wood products like firewood, so their movement is really up to us. And that, I mean, if you look at it that way, that's kind of a good thing. There are, as we also said, you know, there's treatment options for trees that you may have on your own property. So if you're able to, you can get ahead of things with those options. But unfortunately, those treatments are not really available on a larger scale. So those forested areas like those around Devil's Lake are especially vulnerable. Devil's Lake is also a very big recreational spot. It's a big lake. It's very popular with people who like to hunt, fish, and do lake stuff like boating and camping. And that in itself can make the area very vulnerable because folks may bring in contaminated firewood. So what happens if, and really when that happens? David Burt has seen what this looks like. Half of the standing timber in the basin is ash. So this makes it a giant, unlimited food source.
So as soon as the first wave arrives, they will lay eggs, and then the borer population will just explode because of all the food. And then each year when those new cycles hatch out, they will logarithmically increase in number. So it may take a while to get to Devil's Lake, but once it hits this powder keg of food, then there's not much that can be done. And so when they're referring to it, it takes a while, it does. It might take 10, 15 years, but that means you're going to go from a bunch of trees to zero ash trees in really a blink of an eye.
The Devil's Lake Basin has already lost a lot of trees too. Dutch elm disease was pretty rough. And as the lake level rose, a lot of trees were lost to that as well. And when the EAB gets there, it will take a few years for all the trees to die off. And then you'll have a lot of what David Burt called tree skeletons.
Ash trees killed by EAB become very weak very quickly, and then they start falling over and dropping limbs, and they're much more dangerous to work on once they're dead. So basically, you have a place, the Great Plains, hard to grow trees, not many trees. Devil's Lake is the biggest forest in the Great Plains, and it has so many ash trees. And then once these ash trees are gone, they're going to be hard to replace, slow to grow. And then you also have to deal with the hangover. What do you do with all these tree skeletons causing problems for people?
This sounds pretty terrible.
I know. I'm sorry. Obviously, this is a big problem facing North Dakota and the lake region specifically. But he thinks this is an opportunity for a community to band together. So the main thing he suggests is unified awareness around firewood. Again, this is a big tourist spot location, a lot of camping, hunting, fishing, all that stuff. And with aquatic nuisance species like the zebra mussel, folks already know very widely by now they need to clean their boats to prevent the spread between bodies of water. Now people need to start knowing that about firewood. Don't move firewood. Source it locally, because this is the main way it's traveling around, or how it will get to Devil's Lake. And the other part is just getting together and planting lots of trees, ideally starting this summer. He said it needs to go beyond the city limits to private landowners as well. And maybe even some sort of community advisory group could get started and get things going.
Devil's Lake region is unique in not only the size of its forest community, but also how unique it is in terms of it's a mix of natural and artificial ash communities. So there's a lot of genetic diversity and a lot of ash trees at risk. It's a bigger treasure than just the shade that it provides to the individuals in the community.
Yeah, big problems. It takes big ideas and often even bigger solutions. And it will certainly be interesting to see how the lake region and the state of North Dakota responds to this coming crisis. So thanks for all that, Danielle. Thanks for being on top of this story. What else has been happening in the headlines this week?
The best place to go to get your information is from a trusted healthcare provider.
Measles infections are spiking in the state, specifically in Pembina County.
At the beginning of February, February 2nd, WBI did kick off their binding open season for the Bakken East project.
North Dakota's Pipeline Authority is working on getting natural gas pipelined from western to eastern North Dakota.
We're looking for high school age girls to create teams. Then we'll have games on Sundays, one practice a week, just kind of filling in some gaps.
And teen girls in the state have a new sport to get involved in, flag football.
Well, flag football, that is exciting, actually. And it's cool that the North Dakota is on the map when it comes to this emerging sport, this soon-to-be Olympic sport. So very cool. Should be neat to see how that all shapes up. Thanks again, Danielle, for all of that.
You bet. Be sure to tune in to Prairie Public for more news, or check us out online at news.prairiepublic.org.
You know, and if you like us. Give us a little like. Give us a little love here at Prairie Beat. That'll do it for us this week. I'm Eric Dethridge.
And I'm Danielle Webster. We'll see you on the beat next week.